And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Wow, we have some bone-chilling frigid temperatures again this week. I'm getting tired of saying it. I bet you guys are getting tired of hearing it. But a shout-out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph, who is braving the 8th coldest vet school in the country, which happens to be the number one vet school in the country, up at Cornell in Ithaca, New York. Jody, stay warm. We love you. And we want to talk today about some of the great dogs that we've been able to work with who started out as shelter dogs. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a wonderful guest today, Dawn Orr, who is with United Canine Professionals in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area. So we're going to bring her on in a little bit. But you know I need to rant for my first segment while I'm pacing around and trying to get all the blood and juices flowing so we can have an exciting show. Today we are going to be talking about how you can work with your own dog to make it not only potentially a great behaved, perfectly behaved dog, but possibly even a service dog or a therapy dog. I want to talk a little bit briefly about what constitutes a service dog or what constitutes a therapy dog. Well, a therapy dog is a really well-behaved, well-trained dog that just, it'll basically sit, it'll lie down, it'll be gentle and calm around people. Now, not every dog is made out to be a therapy dog, because a lot of dogs are just too exuberant. They can even be the sweetest or best temperament in the world. But to be a therapy dog, the dog has to be calm in any situation, whether it's near a hospital or whether it's in a nursing home or it's in a nursery school, wherever that is, where people are going to be and potentially animals. Now, one of my pet peeves, no pun intended, one of my pet peeves is people who take therapy dogs into hospitals and other locations, or quote-unquote service dogs, take them in and the dogs are aggressive with other animals. You can't have a dog who is a therapy dog or a service dog who is not super, super well-behaved. Now, so a therapy dog should be able to be calm in any situation. And if, like, a child or an elderly person should happen to scream or flap, or like some of the autistic children will do, or misbehave or act out, or, let's say, wheeled walkers, canes, wheelchairs, motorized vehicles, that dog needs to be exposed to all those things to make sure that it's not going to have its very, very first experience with these things the very first time it goes into a hospital and is with people. It's our business at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids to ensure that every dog out there is not only well-behaved, but is capable of doing super amazing things. Now, if you have a dog and you're thinking of maybe training your dog as a therapy dog, or maybe you are actually certified as a therapy dog team, your dog needs to be cooperative and non-aggressive, not only to humans, but to animals, because you never know when you've got your therapy dog in a hospital or in a nursing home or anywhere if somebody else is going to have another dog there, or a rabbit or a cat or a bird, whatever there could be. Many nursing homes and hospitals are starting to realize that animal therapy, that having the animal there to calm people and to help to speed their healing, is a great thing. So you may have a dog who is fantastic with humans, the best dog in the world, but unfortunately the dog may not be so perfect all of a sudden when the dog is out in public with other dogs or other animals that he may see when he's out there. Like I said, there are even animals in hospitals and nursing homes. You never know when you're going to see somebody who's got a service dog with them, or a service monkey, or a service pony, or whatever we could possibly imagine. So it's our duty to make sure that we set our dogs up for success. We trademarked that phrase because it's that important to us. Set your dog up for success, not for failure. It's so urgent. Because if we don't set our dogs up to succeed and we set them up to fail, then why are we so surprised when they fail? If you tell me, my dog doesn't like Cocker Spaniels. My dog doesn't like whatever breed it is. My dog doesn't like cats. Well, that might not be a perfect dog to be a therapy dog. Now, yes, can you get certified by any number of umpteen different certification agencies, and some very legitimate and some less legitimate or not at all legitimate? Of course you can. But most people don't want to have just an empty paper. Anybody can claim. I mean, there are people out there all the time claiming they've trained service dogs, they've trained therapy dogs, emotional support animals. And what's really disheartening to us at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids is we spend thousands of hours training our dogs and just making sure they've got time on time on time, going to shopping malls, going on the merry-go-round, going on the train, going on airplanes, going on buses, going into restaurants, knowing where to go when there's a restaurant. What do they do if somebody threw food on the floor? You have to make sure that your dog is exposed to all those things and all those scenarios before you try to get this dog in as a therapy dog or even more so as a service dog. So a therapy dog is a dog that is used for people to pet, and maybe the dog is even really well trained and maybe it'll even sit up or do tricks for the person to make the time that people are in the hospital, or especially with children, it can make children and adults certainly have their, you know, great time and also help their healing. Speeding up healing is great for a hospital scenario. But when you get into service dogs, and we're talking legitimate service dogs like you see, like when we have one of our Merlin's Kids dogs, those dogs are like machines. Yeah, they have fun. They play. We were on the Today Show with Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda, and it was a blast. We had a whole bunch of kids. There was a giant studio. Those two dogs performed absolutely spectacularly under extreme pressure because they've been trained and trained and trained and trained to do that in areas and in situations of great stress. Some people are going out there and grabbing a dog and keeping it at their house for 2 or 3 weeks and saying, oh, we are training service dogs, and they give you a bogus piece of paper. But it's only as good as the agency you have. There are groups out there, there are people out there who don't even have nonprofit status who are trying to claim that they're doing this. And for me, as having done this for so many years, it's very frustrating because eventually what's going to happen is one of these dogs who's labeled as an emotional support dog or as a service dog is going to bite someone or have a terrible incident, like there was one several months ago on one of the airlines, where that airline said they were going to start actually looking back and making sure that the people had some kind of legitimate training. And it's not a matter of claiming you can do something for your ego. It's a matter of setting your dog up for success and setting up that child or veteran or family that you place that service dog with. So we are going to be back in just a few minutes with a wonderful guest who you are all going to love. She's been with us before, and she's going to be here in a moment. So stay tuned for the next segment.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, earlier we were speaking about how to make sure that your dog can be the best behaved dog. And if you have a wonderful dog, whether you got him from a shelter or you purchased the dog or wherever you got the dog, it doesn't matter where you get the dog, just please don't make more people make money on breeding mixed breed dogs. If somebody's breeding, they should be breeding to better the breed, right? They shouldn't be breeding to make mixes. There are plenty of amazing breeds, 172 breeds, and more being added almost yearly. So there are enough great breeds out there. And if you're going to go get a rescue dog, if you want to get a mutt, mutts are great. But please don't buy your mutt. Go to the shelter and rescue one that's already there. So we are going to talk in a brief moment with Dawn Orr, who is in the Dallas-Fort Worth-Arlington area, and she's really amazing. She's doing things rather than talking about it. We have a little phrase in dogdom, and we call it people who are glory hounds. Well, Dawn is not a glory hound. We all know, and I think Dawn knows a few people that we would definitely put in that category. It's not really a compliment. That means that people who are out there talking about what they are doing or even making up what they're doing versus actually going out there and doing things. You'll see in this business the silent heroes. You don't hear us at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids ranting and raving about how wonderful I am and I did this and I did that. You know what I tell people lately? Go on Google, because I don't want to tell people what I do. It's not why I do it. And at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, we truly are looking for those wonderful people out there who want to do good things and who, yeah, good things will happen to you as well, but you're not doing it for that purpose. You're not doing it just so you can have people think you're wonderful. And I've learned a long time ago, if you think you know everything, it proves you know nothing. And that to me, and that's what my phrase that I always say to people, because when you talk to people, and especially in the rescue community or in dog training, everybody's an expert. They've got a team of 1,000 people, except they only have one. And they've trained 1,000,000 people, but they've only worked with 10 dogs. And the key is to really understand when you're doing things with dogs. Dogs are the great equalizer. You can think you know, you can pretend to know, but stick somebody in with an aggressive dog, like what we call a level 3 dog, because you know there are people out there who've been handling dogs for a year, and they're claiming to work with severely aggressive dogs. I got some severely aggressive dogs for you to work with, you level 3 fraud. I've got dogs who are autistic. We've got dogs who have ripped people's faces open and tried to kill people. So you don't want to be a glory hound in this business. It's dangerous, and you're setting the dog up for failure. So we're going to talk to somebody who is awesome and is setting her dogs and all the amazing rescue dogs that she has been working with through many years. She's setting her dogs up for success. Dawn Orr, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, we love you, Dawn, and we like to get these updates on these dogs. And we have had a number of people who have asked about a dog you had spoken with previously, a dog named Dawson. So I definitely want a little quick Dawson update. Dawson, for those of you who don't remember, was a severely aggressive dog that there were a number of quote-unquote trainers, and nobody could fix the dog. And Dawn was not going to give up on this dog because Dawn set that dog up for success. Dawn, can you give us a quick Dawson update?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Dawson has went from a very nervous, anxious, fearful dog to now you can't get away from him. He wants loving from everyone he meets. I walk him, anybody can walk him great on a leash, and if he sees people and they look friendly, he will go right up to them, sit, and wait to be petted. He is just the happiest dog, and it's one of, I have to admit, one of my proudest cases, I think, because of when I first met him, how shut down, and you could just see the misery in his eyes. You really could tell that, and now it's just all the time. The world is a great place to be in for Dawson. He loves it.
I can't, I mean, I believe it because I know the wonders that you work, but, I mean, I remember meeting Dawson, and he liked me, but he didn't like anybody else who was in that house, and to see him as, you know, now like an ambassador and being so friendly, that is amazing, Dawn, and congratulations on one of many amazing cases. And we hope Dawson is going to continue on, and who knows, maybe he'll even turn into a therapy dog someday if he's doing so beautifully with you. So, Dawn, you were telling us about another dog that I believe was a boxer mix. And this is another dog that Dawn has gotten in recently. And I want her to talk about what she did and what she continues to do to help this dog to become a great dog.
Yes, I've got a dog. Her name is Goldie. She's a boxer mix. And her previous owners, she didn't come from a shelter, but her previous owners really were looking for help. And they had been to, I lost count of how many trainers they told me about with some out of this world, I've never heard of methods to the point of even reprimanding the dog if it did something by hitting it with their fist on the forehead. I mean, there were drastic measures they went through. And all because this dog had went through some trauma in its life. It had been raised with another dog who they lost in a tragic accident. This dog, they went through mourning. The dog went through mourning. So what most humans do, let's get him another dog. But what did they do? They went to a shelter and did get a dog who was another boxer mix, luckily, but they brought home a very fearful and anxious dog. And here now, this dog that they already had, Goldie, is going through all of this trauma, dealing with its humans, you know, crazy emotions, and now they bring this dog home that's very unstable. So what happens, unfortunately, it starts becoming a little aggressive towards this dog. And that's when they reached out to a lot of trainers, which made the dog worse. And we've been working with Goldie for a while. She's been doing really well. But unfortunately, the family had another tragedy. So now Goldie's with me for a while, only because the last tragedy made her a little bit more aggressive, only because of the humans and their emotion. But she's in my house. We've got 10 dogs. There have not been any fights in 3 months. Everything's going great so far, knock on wood. She's really learning, and it's about building her confidence level up. It's about teaching her that I'm going to take care of everything so you have nothing to worry about in the world anymore. Just be a dog. Let's go play. Just have fun. Enjoy the breeze. And Goldie's doing good, and we're going to take her back to her family pretty soon. They're willing to step up and really learn how to communicate with Goldie and how to teach Goldie she's going to be safe. Because they're going to learn how to deal with their emotions. They're taking steps to better themselves so they can truly help their dog, which is great. They understand what we've been trying to do at United Canine Professionals.
Wow. Well, Dawn, you know, I love hearing these stories, and I know we get, you're one of our favorite guests that people are always waiting to see when you're coming back, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. We're going to have to take a short break, but would you stay with us for the next segment and maybe the next rest of the show so we can hear more wonderful stories?
Oh, I'd love to.
Awesome. All right, so you heard it. Please stay tuned. From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, we'll return in a brief moment. Hang in there.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and our awesome guest today, Dawn Orr with United Canine Professionals in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. She is one of the most amazing people with dogs, and I'd call her a dog person, but that kind of sounds strange. It sounds like a centaur, but I don't know. Maybe Dawn's thinking like a dog so much that we are all turning into dogs. I mean, I'd rather be a dog than a human. I don't like most humans, but I love most dogs. Actually, I love all dogs. And, you know, one of the things that Dawn was talking about is how trainers, without saying it, Dawn, she said it, trainers come up with the craziest things. And also, people tend to think they know everything. And you hear me on my tirade about that. There are so many people out there who think they know everything. And to me, when someone thinks they know everything, it does prove they know nothing. If they knew what to do, they would fix it immediately. But when people claim to be more than they are, that's when these dogs wind up being euthanized or dumped in a shelter or worse, because they pretend to have knowledge. And it's okay not to know everything. It's taken me a lifetime to learn everything. But I'll be darned if somebody comes in and says, hey, I taught you everything I know. Well, that's good. That's because you only knew a little. But that's Dawn and me and all of our many people in around 37 states in the United States and a whole bunch of countries in Europe. We are constantly learning. Every time we're dealing with a dog, we're learning a new case. Now, does that mean that we're learning new techniques? Well, no. I mean, I've got my techniques I've been using for a long time, and Dawn, and they're all things from United Canine Professionals, things that are important to understand. But beyond that, once people go through our training program, and eventually after they're really, really proficient and can prove to us that they are amazing at rehabilitating dogs with behavioral issues. And we have classes all the time. We have classes that start up every several months. Once people graduate, they're still not just going to stop learning. You can think you know everything, but guess what? The one dog that you don't know that's going to take you out. You can't be arrogant. You can't be conceited. You can't be cocky. You can't be narcissistic, egotistical, because those are the people who are responsible for the deaths of many dogs. Unfortunately, what happens is if you don't get someone like United Canine Professionals, someone like Dawn to come and help you. You get people who claim to know things or who try to badmouth other trainers or other people, and you never get anywhere. There's no room in the euthanasia room for people with egos. We should all be on the same team, all trying to help. Be like Dawn. Be like me. Be like all of our people at United Canine Professionals who want to help the dog first and foremost. And one of the things that's so important, and hearing Dawn say it again, is not getting stuck on a particular method and not giving up because a trainer said so. That trainer may have only been doing this for a short time, and that trainer may be the bad brain surgeon that went to the out-of-state, out-of-the-country medical school because he couldn't get into a regular medical school. I want the person who was a valedictorian at Harvard Medical School or at Columbia Medical School. I don't want somebody who thinks they know what to do and who yaks and talks and claims to know. I want to see how many hundreds or thousands of dogs have you communicated with? How many families have you helped? Have you rehabilitated 20 dogs? Have you rehabilitated hundreds of dogs, thousands of dogs? Let me see what you do. I don't care how fancy somebody's Facebook page is or how fancy their website is. I want to see substance. It's kind of sad, Dawn, because we see this so much, you and I and all of our people at United Canine. We see this time after time where, like Dawson, that dog is just the best dog in the world. And how many people gave up on that dog before you said, no, this dog is going to make it. I'm going to take over, and I'm going to do what I have to do from my years of learning and my years of studying. I'm going to help this dog. So, Dawn, tell us about this boxer mix a little bit more. What were the initial issues that this dog had, and what had been done with this dog before you got her, and how badly was she messed up?
Well, I mean, the first couple of years, I mean, they said that she was fine. They had no problems until they went through that tragedy. And then once they brought that fearful dog home with all of their crazy emotions that they were going through, Goldie was going through, you know, a loss of her, you know, her mate that she'd had for almost 3 years. Now, Goldie's 5 now. So she went through a pretty big tragedy as well. And that's one thing that humans, we just don't understand, that when we go through things, the dogs can go through that same thing. They may not have the same type of emotions that we have, but they feel that energy, and they don't understand that energy. So when Goldie started acting out and, unfortunately, you know, attacking this very fearful, anxious new dog that they brought home, you know, of course, they panicked, and they started reaching out, and they were reaching out to people that, you know, said, oh, this is a terribly aggressive dog. You should just put it down. Their vet said that, and because they'd seen how good Goldie was, they didn't want to give up, but unfortunately, they just kept finding those people that, oh, they had a method that worked on one dog, so it must work on every dog, and things like that. And there are great trainers out there, but when you're working with a dog that has these types of emotional issues, these behaviors that are fed from an energy that people just don't take time to understand, you've got to take time to connect with that dog so that you can teach it, again, that everything's going to be okay. You can stop worrying now. You don't have to worry about taking care of your human, the house, you know, the furniture. This new dog is going to be okay as well. So you two can get along now because you guys can just be litter mates, housemates, whatever you want to call them. You're brothers and sisters now. Let's get along. There's nothing to worry about anymore.
That's awesome. And you know, I think that's such an important thing also, Dawn. You know, I have so much respect for veterinarians. I have one amazing veterinarian. I'm going to actually give him a shout-out. I've never met him, but I'm dying to. His name is Dr. Frank Marmer, and he's down in, you know, central Jersey. And I have gotten, I don't even know, 20 different referrals from him, especially recently. I get a couple a week. This doctor, this veterinarian, has been referring his cases who he knows that we can fix. And I've taken every single one of these dogs that he has sent me, and some of them have been severe aggression. I mean, off-the-wall severe aggression. you know, attacking their owners, attacking children, severe dog aggression where they've actually mauled another dog. One of them actually killed another dog. And this veterinarian is bold enough and honest enough and loves dogs and his clients enough to say, listen, I don't know how to fix this, and I don't think you should just send your dog off and medicate him with Clomacom or Prozac or Elavil or gabapentin and try to medicate this dog. The dog has behavioral issues. There's this lady, and her name is Janice Wolf, and she's with United Canine Professionals, and she can help you. And every single dog I've helped. And the great part about it is that Dr. Marmer now doesn't have to have any repercussions about worrying, oh, I had to euthanize this dog. If I were a veterinarian that put all that time in, I wouldn't want to euthanize dogs. I want to save them. So big shout out to him and his wonderful office. And we're going to return in a brief moment with our fourth segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking with Dawn Orr, who is an amazing superhuman superwoman who is helping to save all these dogs who otherwise would have probably been euthanized. And we're talking also about those brave veterinarians and professionals and a lot of trainers. I mean, I deal with a lot of obedience trainers lately, and they'll call me and they'll say, hey, I've got this dog. I don't know what to do with him. I can't train him to out of his aggression, and I don't want to get bitten. And I have a lot of respect for those people, and there are a lot of trainers, obedience trainers, who know what their limits are. And that's important, because when I get somebody who's got a dog with a behavioral issue, and now I can fix the behavioral issue, I send them to this obedience trainer who was very honest and knew where her or his abilities lay. I don't want to train dogs to sit and lie down and roll over. I don't want to. It's not in my desire. I want to help the dogs who are going to be euthanized, like today. And this dog, Dawn, reminds me of very much of this boxer. This young couple contacted me. They had a young, their newborn baby. She was born 2 days ago. Her name is Madeline. And in the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've been noticing that the dog has been lunging. They have two dogs. The one dog has been lunging at the baby through, like, in her belly. Well, now she had the baby. They bring the baby home a couple days ago, and now the dog is lunging at the baby, not to kill the baby, But you're talking about a hormonal woman who just had her very first child. And I'll tell you something, there's a zero tolerance on aggression around babies in our world. So they called, and I scooted over there the next day. They called me yesterday. They didn't know what to do. And we were working together, and we had this dog who was out of control before this, was way out of control. Had this dog calmly sitting or lying down or standing or whatever he wanted to do with a baby bubble. And I created that many years ago when I realized there's no reason that a dog needs to be on top of a baby, especially a newborn. So the baby bubble is just one way that we're able to teach the dog to respect our space. So with Dawn's situation is actually very similar. When you bring in another dog or you go through a trauma and your energy gets weak, and all of a sudden that weak energy gets compounded by the fact that you get upset about it. So let's say your dog lunges at another dog and you, oh my God, my dog's dog aggressive. Now you, instead of correcting that initial moment, you allow that dog to become more and more aggressive, because as the dog gets aggressive, you are getting weaker. So with Dawn's case, obviously when this whatever horrible tragedy happened, their energy got weaker, which when they got the other dog who was unstable, made the dog Goldie want to not be in charge even more. But now you're sticking her with an unstable, fearful dog who comes in. Now she didn't want to do the job of being the leader, but now she's got to do that job. And not only she's got to be the leader for herself, but for her family and this new dog. And that's exactly what, like, my class was today. Although I had two classes, they were both very similar, both had babies. So when we have a new energy of a baby, an elderly person, another dog, a cat, whatever it is, or you have a tragedy in your life, you have, you know, a death in the family, you lose a job, you're losing your house, whatever that stress is, that is going to be picked up by your dog as a weak or unstable energy. And dogs aren't going to follow a weak energy or an unstable energy. So they're looking and saying, uh-oh, I must be in charge. I didn't really want to do it, but okay, I love you, I'll do it. So Dawn, can you explain with this dog, with your the boxer mix, can you explain what you were able to do, like the specifics of what they were doing wrong and how you were able to rehabilitate this kind of out-of-control dog so that the dog didn't have to be euthanized or given up?
Yes, the basic principle of it is really is to teach the dog that you don't have to take care of anything. I'm quite capable of doing it. And so what I've had to do is bring it and put it with all kinds of different energy level of dogs so that Goldie would learn, listen, you don't have to worry about any of that. There's a human that's going to take care of the thing now. So I've been working one-on-one with the owners of Goldie's parents now so that they can go, oh, that's how you do it, instead of before, every time Goldie acted out, you know, kind of like what you said, usually the human will panic and then they separate the dog. That doesn't teach the dog anything. I was aggressive. I got rid of the dog. It worked. Now I'm alone. Yay for me. Well, we set the dog up to fail for that. So we have to teach the human, okay, let's stop this. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to have an even energy. And I'm going to let Goldie know, I'm going to take care of it. Please just stop. You don't have to be anywhere that there's danger. I'm going to take care of everything. And we had a couple of visits this week, and it's all been going really well. The humans are getting it great, and Goldie's just following their lead now.
So, Dawn, again, it's really about the human. It's really not about the dog, but it's about the energy of the human and the way in which the human reacts either proactively or reactively to what happens. So what can you say? What did you tell Goldie's parents, like, without getting, obviously, you know, client privilege, what kind of things do you tell your clients when, you know, when they can't kind of get past their past, and this way the dog can't get past its past? What do you say to somebody to kind of snap them out of it?
Well, and it's crazy because, you know, we kind of have to break it down into human relationships so that other humans can understand it. So a lot of the thing I'll use is, think about your family. Your family will do things that will upset you. You can be mad. I mean, there have been times that you've wanted to hit someone in your family. But when it comes down to it, you're always going to be there for your family, right? So you've got to think about your dog. Your dog can't relate to you back to that. So your dog has upset you, but let it go. It was a moment. It's gone now. Now let's look for tomorrow, and let's teach your dog that the world is a good place again. You will take care of everything. Don't dwell on yesterday, because it's gone. Now tomorrow is going to be a great day. You love your dog, or you wouldn't have called me. You wouldn't have called those other people. So now let's show your dog how much you love them and do what you need to do so that your dog can be a well-rounded, well-behaved, healthy dog.
Well,
and once
awesome.
They see that it works,
know,
they're
great.
Great
that you mentioned about the family, because I think that's something that, you know, I hear sometimes where my clients, and I'm sure you hear this too, Dawn, my clients really, many of them have become very close friends, and people will say, how many times do you have to correct your dogs a day? And I say, you know something? I don't know, because I'm not thinking of how many times do I correct my dogs. I'm thinking of, I love my dogs, I'm watching TV, I'm at my farm, we're at our new ranch in Missouri, we're at our other place. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of business and fun and my friends and my dogs. So if the dog does something, I'm not sitting with a little, you know, pen and paper going, uh-oh, another check mark for you. That's what happens. Oh, well, yesterday he jumped on my mother. Okay, great. So he jumped on your mother yesterday. But forget about that, because you're past that. And that's the big thing we talk about. You got to get past your past to help your dog get past his past. Don't hold him against him. It's like a car accident. That's why they call it an accident. Live and learn and move forward. And Dawn, you better stay with us for the next segment, because we got some good questions to ask of you. Please stay with us for the next and last segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking to Dawn about different things. Miss Dawn Orr from the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area. And if you have any dogs in that area or you have friends who have dogs in that area and you need help, she is a amazing, highly trained behaviorist who is helping so many shelter dogs and rescue dogs, as well as private people's dogs in that area. So, Dawn, you know, we talked about Goldie and we talked a bit about Dawson. You know, how about your own personal struggles with dogs that you may have had through the years? Did you have any dogs when you were younger or neighbors who had dogs and you said to yourself, gee, if only I knew all this, you know, when I was 15 or 20 and I could have helped them back then? Did that ever happen to you?
I'd be lying if I said, of course not, but no, I've had plenty of dogs in my past that have done that. And, you know, the biggest reason that I got into this professionally was one of my own personal dogs. I think it was you earlier were talking about how we hear all these other people giving us all of this information when it's just half-truths or there's no true basis. And I was one of those people that, oh, well, I heard if you do this and, well, no, I heard if you do that. And I was messing my dogs up like crazy and making them worse. I was setting them up to fail. You know, those old rumors that, you know, like when dogs potty in the house, what you're supposed to do. And in the olden days where they shove the dog's face. And I was one of those people that, like, I don't believe this is right. But everybody said it was right. So, no, I went through a lot of struggles. You know, I had a lab that was horrible, horrible at pulling. And had drugged me quite a few feet multiple times. But people said, oh, no, put a harness on the dog. Well, I mean, now we, you know, and I knew it was wrong, but I just wanted to believe that everybody knew more than me. And if I'd only listened to my gut, you know, my dogs would have been a lot better when I was a young kid.
I think that happened with all of us. I remember I had a Scottish Terrier, and he bit three people. But they weren't family, but it was all people that you could say, hey, you know what, that makes sense. And he even protected me against a very large Weimaraner who was chasing me down the street while I was walking him. And I tried to pick up this 25-pound Scottish Terrier, and finally he was just too heavy because I was a little kid. I was, you know, maybe 50 pounds, and his dog was half my weight. And I finally put him down, and don't you know, he chased that darn dog right up the block. And I said, geez, you know, he was protecting me, but I wanted him to protect me in that moment. The same way as, you know, if we have a dog and we are in a fearful state of mind for ourselves, we want the dog to help us. But the problem is, people who live in a fearful state of mind, there's so many people out there, like this young couple who, you know, I was telling you about that had the baby. She's terrified. She's sitting there. I was about 20 feet away at the other end of the living room, and I just talked over my shoulder to her, and I said, I can feel your fear from here. Can you please try to, you know, cut it out and go do something, go feed the baby or something? Because if I can feel that energy from 20 feet away, her dog can feel that, and that's the problem, is that the energy is so important. And this isn't something that a human created. It's something that dogs created. I've learned, and you've learned, Dawn, and we have all come together and pooled our knowledge. We've all learned. It's not about a person teaching you what to do. It's about understanding canine behavior. And I remember studying at Columbia University and I won't tell you what year I graduated, but I graduated in 3 years. I graduated early with 2 degrees and 4 minors. From Columbia, and I remember so little from my animal behavior class, not that I didn't learn anything, but it was from a book. And to me, learning from a book, even if it's a great book like some of the ones I've written and you know, we've done in the past, it's still a book. And it's really, really important to understand that when you're doing things, it has to make sense to you. It has to be something that goes along with your gut. I can't tell you how many people I speak with who say, you know, I just didn't like the concept. It didn't feel right, but I let them do it anyway. People who are allowing shock collars on dogs, prong collars, choker chains, you know, throwing things, squirting them in the face with citronella, penny cans, fear. I mean, there are groups out there who their entire basis of their group is throwing things at dogs. Why would you want to make a dog fearful? Fear is the thing in behavior that takes the longest to correct. It takes the longest, and that's why with Dawson and with your boxer mix, obviously, those dogs were fearful. If you have a fearful dog or a dog who's uncertain, it takes longer to rehabilitate that kind of dog than it does to rehabilitate a dog who's dominant. And we've both certainly done, you know, enough dominant dogs, and I've got the bites and scrapes and rips and scars to prove it. But the key is that you never want to instill fear into a human or into a dog. And I remember from Columbia University talking about animal behavior and getting a degree in it and saying, that's great. You know what I remember from class? Fight, flight, avoid, or submit. And that's what I remember. And that I could have learned from a kindergartner. Now, that doesn't mean that Columbia University doesn't have an incredible science department. We were working on the Human Genome Project before it had a human genome name. We were the best of the best. But the thing is that if you don't learn your behavior from animals or from someone who has studied intensively about animals by watching animals, you're not going to learn what they really do. There are different people out there now. They won't feed the dog unless the dog does something good. That's ridiculous. That's like telling your kids you can't eat unless you do something to earn your food. That's a basic need. That's a basic thing that needs to be provided for humans and dogs. You don't take animals' food away and then try to work on it being food aggressive. I mean, if that isn't the dumbest thing I've ever heard, I don't know what is. But it's not about a person. It's about taking people who have had, like I've had horses my whole life. I learned more about horses from being around 120 horses on my thoroughbred farm and from my 30-plus horses I have now. I've learned more about horses from horses than I will ever learn from trainers. And I had Olympic trainers who were the best of the best of the best. But the key is to learn about them from them. You take the pointers, but then you have to spend your time. And this is what Dawn and I do, and all of us at UKP. We take the time to assess each individual dog. We don't go in and throw a leash on a dog and let it alligator roll for, you know, an hour while the dog is flailing around, and then that's how you think you're going to build trust. You build trust by giving trust. You build trust by setting rules, very easy rules. You build trust by understanding and connecting with the dog. And that's so important. And unfortunately, so many people in this world are out to just, like we were talking about glory hounds, instead of actually doing things that are good for the dog. So, wow, it's time flies when you're having fun. Dawn, you know, you are amazing, and we love having you on the show. And hopefully we'll be able to have you on in maybe again next month. But one of the things that I think we all need to learn from Dawn is a little bit about understanding and making sure that you're not jumping to conclusions, you're not going in expecting to lose, and that you need to be the one person in that dog's life who saved that dog's life. Had it not been for Dawn, had it not been for me, had it not been for a lot of our people, for all in 37 states right now, there would be a lot more dogs euthanized. And that's why we always say that it's just one person can change thousands of dogs. And if you can get out there, if you want to learn how to do this, if you want to learn how to become a certified canine behaviorist in natural canine behavior rehabilitation, if you want to train service dogs, you want to train therapy dogs, you want to train cancer detection dogs, you want to change your career to something you love instead of something that you're dreading going into work the next morning, you can give us a call at United Canine Professionals or Merlin's Kids. We have an 800 number, 855-4-K-9-PROS. That's 855-4-K-9-PROS. Or Merlin's Kids, which is 855-HI-WYATT, or merlinskids.org. We are so grateful to have you and have shared this time with you. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful day and a great week ahead. And we'll see you next week on from shelter dog to service dog.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.